With LinkedIn Jobs, we tap into a network of more than a billion professionals to help you find quality professionals quickly and easily for any role you need. Marketing wizards? Found them.
Software engineers?
Found.
That project manager I could never seem to hire?
And found. LinkedIn Jobs quickly matches your roles with candidates with the right skills and experience. In fact, 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. Post your first job for free and get started at linkedin.com/spoken. That's linkedin.com/spoken. Terms and conditions apply.
Roger, it's Brian. Look, I know this sounds a little far-fetched, but I want you to meet me every night between October the 21st and December the 18th at 7:30 p.m. at a place called the Menier Chocolate Factory in London Bridge. Some days at 3 p.m. and 7:30 p.m. People are going to watch us, a bit like a zoo or whatever, and I'll give you a cut. If you do want to find out more, look at the internet, menierchocolatefactory.com. Speak soon. Bye.
The following podcast is a member of the Great Big Owl family.
Aki! Boo! Boo!
Hello! Did I shit all over your
No, it scared me.
I was some atmospheric.
I was very scared. I live in a flat, Julia, on a high street. And my daughter's bedroom overlooks the high street. And she's nearly three. And everyone's got skulls and ghosts in the window. And they all, they're not like the friendly ones you'd expect, where they're all smiling pumpkins. No. They've got sort of horrible zombie ghosts that are like in mid-screen.
No.
She loves them.
Severed limbs.
Yeah, but she did say to me, I said, look, you know, you can see the ghosts over there. And she said, what's a ghost? And I thought,
man.
This is difficult,
isn't
it?
Don't start down that road.
This is difficult. I said, it's dead people, dead humans. Anyway, she's in care now, so that's all good.
It's for the best.
It's Halloween week, Jules.
Spooky week, as my kid keeps reminding me. It's a spooky week, Mum.
It's the spookiest of weeks. I'm going to introduce
us. Enjoying it this year.
It's me, Malevolent Mark Brains. That's one.
Oh, should I have thought of one?
I've got one for you. It's so good.
Okay, good. Thanks.
It's Julia Gray. Side.
That's pretty good.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much. It was, I mean, that is pretty much of a level as the Strictly judges got. When they introduced them, they came down as Craig Devil Horwood, which is good.
Nice.
I think it was Anton Boobeck.
Yeah, which was pretty saggy, but yeah. We'll allow it.
Bewitching Shirley Ballas. I mean, really not. I haven't worked on that one. And Motsy Monstrous Mabusi. There wasn't a lot of thought went into those.
It's more just alliteration. That doesn't really count as like carefully crafted wordplay.
I agree. And then they just went, oh, and it's Tess Daly and Claudia Winkleman, who had decided to get into the spirit of Halloween by not dressing up in a costume at all, just wearing a bit of black.
They didn't, did they?
Very disappointing.
I was a bit disappointed because we've discussed this in previous series, but I know that from just talking to Claudia, she's a close personal friend of mine. She's not. I've done her show a couple of times. But I know she's like not asked about the clothes. She'd rather just go to a shop, point at like 10 black dresses and say, okay, those.
Yeah.
And then be done with it. She's not that bothered. But Tess is very fashion, loves her clothes, has lots of input into what she wears. You'd think she'd say, come on, let's really go for it. But did it look like they couldn't be bothered?
It's a shame because what it does is it gives a sort of sense of distance between the presenters and everybody else on the show.
Yeah, I know.
And that doesn't seem like a particularly good idea, especially when it's Halloween. Everyone should be in the Halloween spirit.
I agree.
What an opening dance. I mean,
it really made me feel uncomfortable.
The dictionary definition of overthought, to the point where someone had a kernel of an idea, people had run with it, and it had entirely got away from what anyone could get a handle on.
Yeah. I think we're saying it's probably by committee.
Yeah.
I think there were too many cooks. It was too many ideas thrown in. I didn't like watching Voldemort with their sort of no-nose face dancing in a quite sort of upbeat way. It didn't make me feel okay.
Also with Oti, who was dressed as a Hogwarts pupil, and there was a bit where they were really sort of dancing together, and I was like, oh, this feels wrong on a lot of levels. I mean, you know, if Voldemort is supposed to be evil, then he's doing absolutely the right thing in seducing a schoolgirl who
that is such a Mark Haynes reading of the situation. I didn't even notice that. I just, the whole thing made me feel eggy.
I felt that was weird. They opened it with a sketch of the dancers who haven't got partners, essentially the backing dancers, and they were auditioning for Craig Revel Horwood's talent agency.
I don't really know.
And he was rejecting them for being too evil. And they then said, well, we're going to do a dance that shows you how joyful we can be.
Right.
This is already complex.
The concept is already, it's not good, is it? It's like, just do like a spooky dooky evil Halloween dance. It's gravestones and shit. It's not hard.
That's it. People pop up from the gravestones, you know, from the graves, or, you know, someone opens up something and it's a spider inside. Rather than having the scene of Hannibal Lecter dancing with Pinocchio.
No, thank you.
Really, really strange.
Didn't like it.
The disco helmeted Darth Vader as well. Jafar from Aladdin and the clown from It.
Too many ideas, like a bad cheese dream.
It really was. There was also Nadia was dressed seemingly as God, and she had a beard on and long flowing hair and white robes, and I was like, that is not something from
sexy
a horror
God.
Film. Well, she ripped open her top and she was wearing like a gold sparkly boob tube, and I was like, is this the most sacrilegious thing that's ever been on British television? should we make a, I don't know, Michael Myers? He's in the news a lot. Halloween.
Sure.
Friday the 13th, Jason Voorhees. Or some kind of pansexual god. Let's go for the pansexual god.
It's actually only slightly worse than what they made her wear later, where she was like the little piano goblin living under the lid of a Steinway.
That's true. This ended, of course, happily, because the good guys lassoed all of the bad guys, concentrating the evil together in one place. But unfortunately, they'd missed out the clown from It. Hadn't they? And I presume he then went on to slaughter all of the good guys.
Everyone in the studio, they're all dead now. Everyone involved in this routine has since died.
It was so complex. Again, if
I
that
just
was
wanted to do it spooky. I didn't like all this. Oh no, it's silly. They're really good at like drama, and you know that one they did, was it last week, with all the kind of mirrors and the identical costumes. Cool, like do some kind of iconic, chic, spooky thing.
And I think also
a bit fabulous.
And stick to sort of like, I don't know, Scooby-Doo. You know, that you're, which I'm sure they've done before. I have a vague memory of Karen Hauer being dressed as Daphne.
That wasn't in Strictly.
I've got a mystery I'd like you to uncover. It's the mystery of how I got into a house. the whole thing was, I don't know, just it should be Spooky Ookie Adams Family.
Yes.
And what it shouldn't be is Hannibal Lecter, genuine real life serial killers, you know, just
doing the mashed potato with Dennis Nielsen. I'm not thinking. The only thing I really loved about the opening of this episode was obviously Dave Arch and his orchestra, always game, unlike Claudia and Tess, always game for a bit of dressing up.
Yeah.
And he was this week the world's most apologetic vampire. I love every time he gets introduced, he kind of does a shrug.
Yeah, he does.
And the more emphatic they are about him, the bigger his shrug is. And this week he was like, I'm sorry, I'm a vampire. What am I going to do? I don't even know if he's Jewish. I'm now making him into a Jewish vampire with my terrible impression. But I love his like shrugged, like, oh, well, I guess here we are again. Silly old me. Love him.
That is good. It's funny to think what Dave Arch might be doing if he wasn't like part of like the BBC orchestra.
Yeah.
Whether he'd be a leading musician or nothing, or just be sitting at home with a Casio.
I wonder.
Very strange.
And he's a man with his own orchestra. Like, it's...
Yes.
It's pretty impressive.
I wonder if the others sort of think, I don't think he deserves the title of this being an orchestra. We're all just mates jamming on a telly show.
Maybe. Maybe we're slightly overblowing it to call it an orchestra. Although, this week they were doing War of the Worlds. weeks.
Yeah.
I mean, the
AC/DC.
Exactly. The range of style this week was kind of really impressive. It's always impressive.
It was. I did feel there was a little bit, we could have had a little bit more Halloween music, I must admit. I'm always disappointed when I don't have at least one go at the Monster Mash.
I was about to say, like, where was the bleeding Monster Mash?
Yeah.
There has to be one contestant. Usually the contestant that's going out.
Yeah.
Does, I don't know, maybe a cha-cha to the Monster Mash. It's the law.
It is the law. And instead, we've got a lot of Ariana Grande and we've got some Ed Sheeran.
Ed Sheeran.
Ooh. I mean, give me some classic. I mean, I'm going to throw my hands up right now, Julia, and say I really, really enjoyed Tilly's dance. And part of that was because...
Oh, my God, so did I.
Part of that was because it was to a sort of really cheesy 60s Halloween song, which was called something like My Baby Loves the Spooky Movies. I would have so much respect for people, you know, modern people today who went, I'm going to do a Halloween song properly that. Get Billie Eilish coming in and going, you know, I'm going trick-or-treating with a werewolf. I would go, yeah, I'm all behind that song and I love you for doing it.
It would become an instant modern classic. Anyway, we won't get to Tilly yet. We have to start at the beginning. Shall we start at the beginning?
Let's do that. Dancing number one. It's John and Johannes doing their quick step to Bad Moon Rising.
Yeah, now I really, really liked this. Again, as always, I felt like specifically, although the judges didn't mention it, when they're being picked up on anything, it's usually about being in hold and having gapping and stuff. And I thought that hold was really good because obviously in the quick step, there was a lot of, you know, crotches effectively glued together and very fast legwork. And I thought, even as a layperson, that looked pretty much on point.
Yeah, I mean, look, I loved this. I thought it was great. I do find
really
that I am expecting so much from them because of their high standard that if it's not basically a 40, I do sort of go, oh, a bit disappointing.
Feel
you
a
know.
Little bit let down.
Yeah.
They are consistently brilliant.
Yeah, aren't
but
they?
They're not getting tens and all the nines, but it doesn't feel like it matters at this stage.
No, and they did a good thing, which was they were dressed as werewolves and there was a clear decision to say, let's put in some wolfy movement within this.
Yes.
And I like that thing of going, yes, you know, make the costumes work with the dance. Put some stuff in.
Sure.
I did think that Tilly lacked Frankenstein movement, which I was disappointed by, but I like the fact that John and Johannes were both wolfy.
Back to Tilly, have you changed your releases this week? We're talking about John and Johannes.
It was a proper Halloween dance. But this one was too.
It really was.
I love their sort of like weird sort of thing of going, let's do them werewolves, but we'll also make them sort of like rocker werewolves.
Yeah.
That was all.
The huge quiffs.
Yeah, and good sort
There's
of like.
There's something about werewolves. That's my only comment on that styling.
Squirrel fur sort of waistcoats. I thought it was sort of good and I just really enjoyed it. As you say, I mean, the actual dancing itself looks phenomenal. It is just that thing, I think, the judges. And I think they were unlucky to go first this week. I think had they gone later in the show, I think their marks would have been a bit more even.
Yeah, I think you're right. There was a kind of a weird... Craig made a weird comment about the choreography being repetitive.
He did, yeah.
But I just thought, for me, watching from the outside, I thought it was very... they varied it a lot. So there was kind of a solo, because they always have to do something side by side because John's so good at it.
Yeah.
Then there was really a prolonged section in hold, like much longer than I expected them to do, presumably because they wanted to show that they're really listening to the judges and perfecting that. And then a little bit more side by side at the end. But I thought I loved the choreography on this. Absolutely loved it.
And Craig did say he sort of said it could have been a bit cleaner. He said it could have been more precise, but it had energy and attack. And I think, you know, there were dances that we see later on that were far less clean, that were far less precise,
sure.
That he was not in the mood to you know, attack, really.
I think he expects a lot more of John now, because John, some weeks, like last week, John was almost like laser precise with his movements.
Yeah, they're
so
getting...
I guess if there's anything that he can pick him up on now, he's going...
Yeah, and they're definitely getting to the point of going, you are so good that we are going to encourage you along by just going, you know, you have to get 10, you know, you have to get 40s. And if you're not getting 40s, you're not working hard enough.
Yeah, I think they're building up to it. It's coming.
Yeah.
And when they do, Johannes is going to cry so much.
Oh, yeah.
They may not be able to continue with the show. Like I think it's really nice. A dam is going to burst that day, and I'm happy to wait another week or two for it, really.
Do you know what? I almost have the feeling where if I was had the ear of the judges, I would say, keep holding this back, because they're going to be here in the last week. Keep holding it back, and
exactly.
then... Let the levy break.
Go gangbusters. So he got 3 8s, except for Shirley gave them a 9.
Yeah.
A total of 33. They were light on their feet. She's entirely correct. They very much are.
I like that Shirley did a lot of sort of, she was in character more than any of the other judges.
Yeah, she was, wasn't she?
But she hadn't really thought of what the character was.
Yeah. I know.
So she'd sort of do her normal sort of critique of the dance, but she was doing in this one witchy hands as she was doing it. Oh, you moved beautifully. I could watch you forever.
I love her for trying.
Yes,
she tried.
Yeah.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify is there to help you grow. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Get a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/work. Shopify.com/work.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
All of television history is contained within the Box of Delights.
It was happening in front of us.
Incredible.
In our living rooms. It was amazing.
Guests pick their favourite television moment.
And tell us why they love it.
And is this the episode where Daisy's just been for the interview at the Woman's Magazine?
Flaps.
That's it, Flaps.
Yeah.
Named one of Radio Times' best podcasts of the year.
I don't understand people who don't see the joy in drawing the curtains, mug of hot chocolate and something nice on TV. Like, what could be nicer than that?
Than having a snuggle.
Exactly.
Nostalgia in bite-sized chunks.
Box of Delights
from Great Big Owl.
AJ and Kai doing a Viennese waltz.
They did, but just before we continue, though, TNCs were a bit of a non-event this week. It was Stephen Merchant being
weren't
filmed
they?
In some kind of white room. And it either it was something on my glasses, there was like a suggestion of a spider.
Yes, at the back.
To
yeah.
the side of the frame. But there really was nothing much going on there Halloween-wise. And again, another part of the show where they're breaking the Halloween spell. It's like, do it properly or don't do it at all.
Absolutely. Yeah. Why didn't they just have a member of staff and they go, to give us the terms and conditions, it's the creature from the Black Lagoon, you know?
Exactly, see?
Because it wouldn't be any less funny than having Stephen Merchant on, and whether they came in early or whether he just started, you know, that it was just literally him reading the terms and conditions
so
and giving nothing else.
I know.
It happens that he's got a BBC sitcom starting this week.
I feel like they're letting the side down quite heavily with that. Anyway, as we were saying, so AJ and Kai's Viennese waltz.
Yeah.
To is it Dangerous Woman?
Dangerous Woman by Ariana Grande.
Didn't know this song.
No.
I absolutely love this. Again, it's like another Viennese waltz. I think it's the second one this series where they've kind of deliberately gone for a sort of dynamic, dramatic, sexy waltz where she's being dragged around the floor at some points. Not that kind of frothy, romantic, twirly, twirly, twirly thing that we normally expect. God, I am such a dance expert. I've
This ain't your daddy's Viennese waltz.
This is the young people
coming in and doing it different and shaking up your world. A couple of things. They didn't call her AJ a boo boo, which I thought was a real missed opportunity.
Totally missed opportunity.
And also, I mean, right at the end, as Kai ran away, AJ looks at him and he turns to stone.
Yes.
He was not facing her. He did not look into her eyes. They should have just been disqualified.
I think you're right. That's
stop getting Medusa wrong.
Although, if you want, this is nothing to do with Strictly, but there's a really clever stand-up comedian and classicist called Natalie Haynes who'll tell you that Medusa, it's now a feminist reading of it now. She wasn't an evil witch who turned people to stone. She was actually just misunderstood. So you can go and find her on YouTube explaining to you exactly why this is actually misrepresenting.
Well, I'm glad Natalie Haynes was there when Medusa was turning loads of men into stone.
apologising.
Very easy to say. Let me just say, maybe it would be nice to hear a classicist talk to the men who were turned to stone.
In the made-up stories. No, it's true. But I did really enjoy this. Obviously, they are now in our judging scores, they're disqualified because of the fuck-up with the eye contact thing and, you know, fair play. Their dance was almost completely overshadowed afterwards with just people trying to goad them into saying that they were having sex with each other.
it was almost as if they wanted the audience to start clap going snog snog snog
or
snog
shag, yeah shag, shag,
have
shag.
Sex have sex have sex have sex. It was
not on.
It's been the big thing in the tabloids the previous week, maybe for 2 weeks it's been running now, and again I think as we mentioned last week, the second the tabloids are saying their friends are saying it'd be great if they got together they've got together.
That bus has already left the station.
I thought there was a proper tacit approval, if you like, by everyone involved in this, where they had AJ's nieces and nephews come to the studio to watch them perform.
All done up in spooky face makeup.
Which, if that was the not done by the BBC, you know, costume department and makeup, who are always thanked constantly throughout the shows,
constantly and repetitively.
I mean, it was as good. Let's be clear.
It wasn't
of a worse standard, which didn't make me think, God, they know someone who's great at makeup. It made me think, not sure the makeup people are all that.
I think sometimes I look at what they've done and think, it's okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
Like, amazing. I don't really think that guy's a werewolf now.
Oh, exactly.
I can see it stuck on.
Yeah, you should do that professionally. Oh, I do it professionally. Do you? Oh, gosh. But one of the little nieces, I think nephews, sort of said, why don't you kiss already? And everybody laughed. And that was obviously a tacit nod that wouldn't have gone in if they didn't want that rumour to be out there.
I mean, I think it's pretty much albeit been confirmed that they're dating, and, you know, that always goes well when you start dating your dance partner. I think the only person who's really managed to make this work is, just completely still love her, Gemma Atkinson, who wasn't dancing with Gorka for her series. She was dancing with, was it Giovanni? Maybe, can't remember, one of the other young men. And it was always in the papers that Gorka was like asking her out, and she was saying no. And she said, well, wait till the end of the series.
Yeah.
If you want to maybe go on a date after that, we'll see. And they're now in a relationship. They've got a baby. They're getting married. It's like, oh, that was the way to play it.
Rachel Riley, you know, she's still...
Oh, that's right. Her and Pasha are still...
Yeah. And isn't the EastEnders actor who... Didn't she win the series? I've forgotten her name. She is... the only way I can try and identify Julia is I once saw her in a Chinese restaurant in Finchley. And
exactly who you mean.
She was reading her EastEnders script, and it was two pages to a single page of A4, which I thought was a worrying sign that the BBC is cutting corners.
I love that that's what you took away from that.
Very much so. Anton said about this, it was exquisite to watch, and it was. And Craig was, you know, he said it maintained body contact throughout. Yeah, I bet it did. He said the Viennese waltz doesn't always have a dynamic feel, and this did, and that's why he loved it.
I completely agree with him about that. I love the sort of passion and the kind of genuine emotion in it, rather than just this, I'm not looking at you, my head's gone, you know, that weird thing where you have to put your head back into the right and look away. There was a real connection between them, and it was lovely to watch. And actually, Motsi said it was the best dance they've done.
She did.
She really did enjoy it.
I mean, the marks were 9, 10, 9 and 9 for 37.
Motsi was the 10, yeah.
I sort of didn't feel this was a 10.
Oh, I did.
No, I thought this was a really solid 9 across the board, but it sort of lacked. Again, I suppose it's a bit like John and Johannes for me, which is that I am so used to them being so good that when it is just excellent, I'm a bit like, I feel like there's something missing there.
Fair enough.
Again, I think, you know, they are lining up, aren't they, in the same way as John and Johannes are for that week where it is just flawless.
They are, unless, of course, they split up before the end of the series. And then it could get really interesting.
Oh, you know what? I don't want to wish that on anyone, but, I mean, it would be fascinating to watch, wouldn't it?
I know, right?
Woof. Unbelievable.
Horrible people.
And talking of horrible people, dancers number three, it's Dan Walker and Nadia. Aww. Who did their jive to yeah. Rock Lobster by the B-52s.
Excellent track.
Did you think to yourself, I bet he said he wasn't going to dress up as anything satanic? And
I did. I sort of thought that. I thought they probably wouldn't be having any truck with devil horns.
No, he probably wouldn't have liked the Amy and Tom thing. He would have thought that was filthy. Yeah. And I thought he probably also sort of like has a list of things that he's, I'm not going to be devils. I'm not going to be ghouls and zombies, because that's obviously mocking the resurrection. I probably am not going to be a dinosaur, because obviously they fit into the same thing of, you know, trying to disprove, or a scientist.
I'm not being Charles Darwin, that's not happening.
No, and they must have had to work their way down until they go, what about crustacean? Will you be a crustacean?
Oh, one of God's lobsters, but
yeah.
Of course.
Yeah. They end up finding themselves being a pair of lobsters. He was such a knob in his VT as well, that built into it. He was.
In what way did he particularly offend you this week?
I'll tell you what it was. He said a lot of things,
Jesus,
that sounded like Robert Webb would do them. But at the end, instead of doing a depreciatory line that makes that hilarious faux smugness funny, he would say something that would big himself up. So there was a couple of bits where you were waiting for the undercut bit. He'd sort of go, so, I mean, all I've got to do is go in there and just give the best dance of my life. Which is what I'm going to try and do.
Oh, so, no.
Whoa, that was supposed to go down at the end. It's going to be the best dance of my life.
Do you not understand this show goes out in Britain? Well, we do not like the big heads.
Right at the end, he finished his dance and he did that lobster roll joke, which, you know, you can take or leave. That's fine. He said it when it didn't get a reaction. He did say to everyone, come on. And they had to then applaud. But he said to Tess, I really enjoyed that. Hope you did too. And it's just, you know,
lost. That's a little bit passive aggressive. See, now I didn't pick up on that, and now I hate him again. I hope you did too.
It's all stuff
in a way that suggests you did.
Well, yeah, completely. And also having to get a sort of answer almost for it. You know, well, yeah. I really enjoyed that. I thought it was excellent. I'm sure you did too. What about you? What did you think of it?
Mm.
You know, I just thought, oh, knob off.
Not quite learning how to read the room there. Well, no. The scores, so he's never been scored higher than a 7.
Mm.
He was desperate for an 8, and Craig gave him a 5 and said it was like watching a horror film, but then sort of slightly, you know, sort of softened that.
He said you close your eyes throughout, but you do want to see what comes next.
Yeah. Shirley and Anton both gave him 7s. Shirley mentioned again that he's 6'6", which I love. That must really piss him off. Every week it's like one person will reference his height. It doesn't mean anything. It's meaningless. It's just how long his skin and bones got when he just stood around on the earth waiting to get taller.
It's not like it happened to him suddenly and he's had to learn to cope with it.
but then Motsi, I felt like this was almost painful. Motsi gave him his longed for 8. But like much in the way that you'd give a dog like a lovely treat just before you stuck the syringe and gave it its final medicine.
Look, Motsi gave him an 8, exactly like she gave John and Johannes, because that dance to Motsi was exactly as good as John and Johannes's.
Yeah.
You know,
almost indistinguishable from, I'd say.
It's another one of those dances that I do think if somebody I knew came in while I was watching that, they would say to me, why do you watch this shit? And I would say it's not normally like this. And they'd go, yeah, but look at it now. It is like this because that's it. And I would have to say, I'm sorry.
The other thing I'd like to know is during the rest of the show, obviously everyone sat there who's already danced in costume at their little sort of cabaret tables, cheering on their compadres. Nadia kept her lobster claws on, because during the dance, they literally just whipped them off to enable them to dance more. He's saying, we know they're detachable. They're not glued on. She kept her lobster claws on and clapped all the other dancers with her lobster claws. Either she was being sarcastic or she was ordered to reattach her claws to make the whole costume.
The bit where they were doing the sort of the sign language applause for Rose, I mean, with the lobster paws on as well, that just looked it looked ignorant. I hated this. The only thing I clung to was I thought, well, do you know what, at least we're going to see him evicted dressed as a fucking lobster.
I really thought that was going to happen.
That was going to be a moment of, I mean, even Dan Walker would have to look at that and go, I find that in some way quite humiliating. But
maybe
sadly,
I'm not the best after all.
Sadly, it would not. Oh, I bet the other thing is he went, you know, tell me more about lobsters before I decide whether or not they fit into my worldview. And they will have said, oh, well, you know, what do we know about lobsters? They mate for life. And he'll gone, yes, sold. Sold. Good Christian value by the lobster. Oh, God, I hated that.
Say what you really feel.
Dance number four, Reese and Nancy doing a paso doble. After, of course, they were in the dance-off last week, and you could tell that Reese had really taken a knock with the idea that the British public aren't really very supportive of him.
But
which,
I worried so much about, because obviously his response and both of their responses to any kind of setback is to try even harder.
Yeah.
And at one point, Nancy said, every day we train from 9 a.m.
Yep.
to 10 p.m.
Yeah.
Every day. And that, to me, I start to fear for him now. I just think, is he going to... I mean, obviously, physically, he's just pushing himself to the absolute limit.
He has no excess meat on his bones, does he?
None.
He looked... I mean, if they'd have just sort of said, take your top off, you would have gone, oh, Nancy's dancing with a skeleton. He looks...
he's a whippet.
Like, he absolutely looks like he's been worked into the ground.
But obviously, you know, this paso requires loads of attack, and he gave it everything. Like, he really was fighting his way through that dance.
I thought this was phenomenal. I know you're less keen on the head down, attack.
Yeah.
I love it. If you're going to dance for me, then give it all you've got.
I like to see them trying and then throwing themselves into it, but... You know, I think because of his enthusiasm, they've said this to him before, like, it can come out as sort of stiff and jerky. Mm. Anton told him to take a breath because, you know, it's just his determination to do it precisely and correctly.
Yeah.
Means that the dancing is slightly coming second because it's just hitting his marks. And obviously Nancy is just, you know, barking instructions at him, you know, for 10 hours a day. I just think, yeah, he needs to take a breath. He needs to understand that he's really got this.
Yeah.
And that his dances would be more pleasurable to watch if he just trusted himself and thought more about the performance of things.
I mean,
you can't deny he's just precise.
And I
worry for him.
I thought the actual overall look and the setting of this one was perfect. I thought War of the Worlds is great Halloween music.
Really,
they're dressed
really
up
good.
As two battered Edwardians. they are, you know, doing this dance where they both look very frightened, and I think that was also playing into, you know, their real life experience.
Sure.
Of Strictly,
the terror of the drop zone.
Do you know what?
The aliens coming from Mars.
The CGI Martians were actually all right.
Only good CGI of the night. God, we've got some shockers
coming, haven't we?
Oh my God!
I mean, I actually was like, that is pretty good. You would glance at that and think, oh, they've got some real things there. It looked like a West End production.
For sure. The styling and everything is perfect.
I did think that Nancy really, really was good in this as well. When you watched her, she was just at another level. And I know that's quite a bad thing for a professional to do, because you are slightly showing up your celebrity partner.
Yeah, I know what
but
you mean.
I thought she was phenomenal in this.
Yeah,
I mean,
she just,
really,
she just
really good.
Beautiful shapes.
Totally. Motsy said, you showed what is Reese about, she said, while she was banging her mic at the same time. not a highlight when it comes to a television performance there.
She was just really excited. I love it when Motsy gets excited.
Yeah.
It's kind of like the substitute for Bruno, isn't it? The one who'll really lose her shit and just go, incoherent, rambling, darling, wonderful, glad dance, wee!
And then you get Shirley saying, I wanted to send you a mummy hug.
A mummy hug. My insides die.
God, imagine it. Imagine if it was Len Goodman, the sort of nearest thing. And Len Goodman just saying to, you know, some 12-year-old dancing girl, I just wanted to send you a daddy hug, you know.
Just nice.
He would be dragged out of the studio. I felt
But Craig said that he wasn't dancing through his Spanish line, which I think is, you know, the professional's way of saying, yeah, think about your dancing. It's great that you're so drilled on the moves, but like, think about your body moving with the music, actually dancing, because obviously, you know, he moves so fast. He does look like he's doing a brilliant job, but I do kind of understand what Craig was getting
at. I suppose that there's a sense here that it's more like a sort of training exercise where you have to hit certain marks at certain times, rather than going feel the love of dance. And
precisely.
I suppose as a younger guy, you are just like, I can attack this head on and I can get this technically right and the rest of it doesn't really matter. But you can see the difference. And, you know, and I think with the dance that Rose did, for example, and the dancer that Rose is, beyond the fact that she is doing something at a level that nobody else is doing, because of, you know, the deafness that she has to overcome in a dancing competition. What you see is that she has heart and she has an understanding of the beauty of dance. And I think that that is the thing that Reese doesn't have. He is, you know, he's taking this as a military exercise. And unless he can find that bit where he goes, I actually love this and I glide and there's something more than just getting it right, I think he is going to struggle to get to the final at this stage.
Yeah, you're right. Something's going to have to happen in terms of him loosening up. Again, he needs to go and take ayahuasca in the desert, I think, doesn't he? He needs to just be taken out of himself in some kind of perhaps slightly druggy way.
Yeah.
The only way to unlock the inner dancer.
Well, unfortunately, Reese won't be joining us this week because he's on day 6 of a massive bender. We hope he'll manage to find his way back to the studio and it comes back. Wonderful.
He's had a white.
GreatBigOwl.com.
It's an S-Pod thing. The podcast revisiting S Club 7's insane TV show.
Yeah, I can't imagine anyone's binge-watched this. Anyone who's not on drugs.
Thank you for bringing this into my life. It was honestly truly appalling.
Guests helped me analyse the show in more detail than anyone ever asked for.
It feels weird to me to say the phrase sex object in a show that was aimed at six-year-olds.
Do you think there's one of the problems with the show is that 7 is too much?
It's an S-Pod thing from Great Big Owl.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And is all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.